Do you remember there were times in Brother Branham's life and ministry, and you hear him on the tape, he talks about he'd be discouraged, be in the car, and he said the devil would come sit right next to him. He told me that one time we was talking about it, and he said he looked like Alley-Oop, that caveman cartoon character. And a lot of people have never heard of him, but I found an article in a magazine in 1933, and that's when he started. The cartoonist that drew him published the first article about him in 1933. I thought that was a little significant also, that,
yeah.
The things that started in Brother Branham's life and that. And Brother Branham said that he'd say, well, there wasn't anything to this, you know, there wasn't, this is all just make-believe, and it's just the people's psychology. And Brother Branham said he'd get thinking about it, and he said he'd get discouraged, and he'd say, well, now, if this is not real, then what caused that cancer to fall off that woman's face?
Amen.
What caused that crippled child to walk? What caused those blind? And Brother Branham said, as he gave testimony to it, that his faith grew, and finally the devil disappeared.
Amen.
It's just like resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And in the scriptures, we've got an example of that, where the two walking on the road to Emmaus, they were slow of heart until Jesus came, and they didn't recognize him still. But when he testified to them of all the scriptures, he called them slow of heart. But when he got to Emmaus and he pretended that he would go on farther, and they persuaded him to stay, and then when he stayed and when he blessed the bread or broke it or something, Brother Branham said he saw some little thing that they recognized that was him, and then he disappeared, then their heart burned within them.
Yeah.
It made a difference. And it's our testimony that we need to remember that we're humans, and these times will come when the greatest battle that's ever fought will be in our mind, and we'll be questioning, well, is this real? And you'll get what you call the blues, or misunderstanding, or somebody will offend you, or you'll get offended, or hurt, or feel left out or neglected. And when you get to that, my dad said you went to the SP Depot, self-pity. You get there and you get to feeling so sorry for yourself, and well, this is not working, that's not working. And you know, we've had some wonderful times here, and you people have complimented me and talked about what we've done, but last Monday morning when I got up, I was at rock bottom. I even talked to Janice about retiring. I said, you know, how can I retire? How can I get to the place to where I don't have the responsibility? Paul said it like this one place. He said, for the burden it was on him, he said, not for the local church, but for the churches everywhere.
Yeah.
If there's a split in a church, or a pastor sick, or there's a financial problem, or people all over the world, they don't all call me, but a lot of them do. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is because I answer my own phone.
Amen.
They don't have to go through a secretary to get it, and my phone's in the phone book 5 different ways, and people say, well, I tried to get hold of you and getting hold of, they just stopped using the phone book. They expect somebody to dial the phone and say, Brother Green's on the line. But I'm not complaining, but at the same time, I try to help people. And if people have confidence in you, you can help them.
Amen.
And then we've traveled and we preach, and probably 1 million people around the world know us by name or sight or so forth. And so sometimes that pressure, it gets to you physically. You just can't do it all. That's one of the things I appreciate about what God did with that car. Is it's not up to me whether I got the ability or not. It's give him control. And that's what I tell everybody. I don't mind you telling me, but I don't have the answer to all of them. But last Monday was one of those days where it just seemed like the harder I tried, the worse it got. And I actually did. I sat down and wrote. I said, well, now, God has been so good to us. He's given me Brother Newton and Brother Caleb and Brother Larry and Brother Vernon and Brother Wilson and Brother Robert. Those 5, 6, 7 brothers that are here will do anything I ask them to do. They'll do anything you ask them to do. And I don't know anybody else got help like that. that they come here because they feel like God sent them here.
Yes, amen.
I didn't go to them and proselyte them and say, you come and we'll do this and do that, but they felt led of the Lord, just like Brother Linhart and Brother Johnson and Brother Thompson, all the other brothers have done that. And you know what? If God sends them, well, God can tell them to go somewhere else too. But Monday and Tuesday, I found myself trying to formulate something. Could I do this? Can I just sort of withdraw and go to church and preach when I feel like it, or when there's something special, they ask me that. And I just about had myself convinced of it, that I could do it and get away with it. But you know what? I had a problem. Neither one of them would agree to that. They tell me no.
That's right.
They would do whatever I ask them to do, but for me to talk about retiring or quitting or becoming inactive, there's not a one of them that say, yeah. And it's not because they're not willing to do more, but they just don't think God's finished with me yet.
That's right, amen.
Well, these two brothers here had notified Johnny that they were coming to town because Brother Stephen had been here 20 years ago when he first came from the Congo, and he could have gone a lot of places to learn his English, but he came here and he testified to us Wednesday night. Why? Because he's supposed to have gone to Hawaii to learn his English for the research that he does for the health group in the Congo that he worked for. And he didn't want to go to Hawaii. He wanted to come here, and he prayed about it, and did just supernaturally, they sent him to Tucson.
Amen.
So he was here 20 years ago, and I think he stayed back here in what we call the hospitality house then, the one on the corner. And to tell you how long ago it's been, it was when Brother Ray Thomas and Klaus and ones like that lived in there. And when he called Johnny, because he remembered Johnny's number and so forth, anyway, he made contact with Johnny and asked about the hospitality house. Well, Johnny automatically thought of Castro, where Caleb lives. This one back here wasn't in his mind. So then he said there was somebody else coming with him. Well, these two brothers, they come in on a plane, and Johnny picks them up, and he takes them up here at A Mountain. And while he's there talking to them about the sights and scenes and so forth, Johnny gets a crowd. You know, he talks loud enough at the people around about here, and somebody standing there said amen when Johnny said something. And so Johnny took them down to the old tabernacle, and the lady down there, when they wanted to get their picture made, well, is this where? Yeah, right there is where Brother Branham stood. And that's what the director down there told him.
Yes.
Well, by Wednesday night, they had settled in the house. Johnny had fed them and showed them the city tour here, more or less, and then they came into the office. And Johnny made mention to me that, Brother Green, you ought to hear the testimony about the prayer clause that had happened with Brother Jeremiah and his church over there. And so when they came into the office, I had asked Brother Newton to preach Wednesday night, and he was in the office prepared to preach. And when I met them and we were speaking to them, I asked them if they'd like to give testimony. And I said, well, you know, that's difficult to ask a minister to testify and not let him preach. Because, you know, that proverb, blessed is the preacher who can testify without preaching. And so I told Brother Stephen and Brother Jeremiah to take their liberty. So Stephen testified a little bit, and then Brother Jeremiah, he gives testimony of the prayer clause, and he takes the first 15 minutes talking about Perry Green. I had come in, I'm sitting back there in the back, and I'm sitting there, and yeah, he's talking about me. Yeah, that was me. And it made me realize that sometimes when I feel like I'm done nothing, that there's been some people in this world blessed.
Amen.
And as long as I've got breath, I can be a bigger blessing to the ones that don't know me, don't know all my faults, haven't seen all my sins, and don't have an agenda against me, don't have any controversial doctrine where they think I'm wrong. They haven't shut me out of fellowship. And I don't know, he just encouraged me.
Amen.
He blessed me. I needed it. And I have to look at it like this. Why did God send them at that time when I needed it?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
You see, I appreciate God doing it. And that's the reason I'm telling you folks this morning, that He won't let us down.
Amen.
He's never left us. He's never forsaken us.
Right.
And anybody who says they haven't been discouraged, they're not being truthful.
Yeah. Right.
There's times when we all need somebody to hold our hands up.
Yes.
Somebody to come along and tell us that, hey, you were a blessing. God still loves you.
Yes.
God's still with you. You see, my feeling was, I don't like to be a controversial figure, but it's like Brother John McFadden called me this week, and I know he loves me. John loves people unconditionally.
Amen.
And he's heard all the tapes that I've preached on clarification. And he had a couple of questions. And he asked me, not to be critical, but he just wanted to make sure I understand. And I just told him, I said, John, you know, sometimes some of these things I feel like that I say them just to get people stirred up so they'll get out of a rut. And go back and hear what Brother Branham said about it, rather than somebody else's interpretation of their own feeling about it.
Amen.
You know, we're all that way.
That's the truth.
Brother Branham said, don't say something and put a period behind it.
Come on.
Put a comma there.
Amen.
Yeah.
And Brother John was asking me about what I'd said after the rapture tape, where Brother Branham talked about the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. And I had brought out about, you know, that Brother Branham said the shout was the message. And he goes on, he talks about that. But then Brother Branham also said, you know, that a shout is a message. Well, when somebody shouts something, aren't you wanting to tell somebody something?
Amen.
But when you get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and the people who want to make Brother Branham infallible, I want you to know you got it wrong, because Brother Branham repeatedly says 2 Thessalonians.
Right.
Almost every time he refers to it. Did you know the people who print the Bible print it wrong? But Brother Branham continually, repeatedly said 2 Thessalonians. And then he quote 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18.
Right.
Amen.
So I'm not belittling or faulting Brother Branham. I just want to know you can get yourself out of balance when you don't let Brother Branham be a man.
Yes.
When you try to make him and substitute him for God or Jesus Christ, you're going to get yourself out of balance. And for some reason, Brother Branham did not want the rapture tape released. And he told them to withhold it. Now, if they really believed that who they say is, they would not have released that tape. I was involved in all of this. Why did they release the tape? Was there a secret on there Brother Branham didn't want us to know until after he died? Or was Brother Branham uncomfortable with what was said? Or he knew how people would misunderstand it?
Yeah.
I know for a fact that the night that Brother Branham preached the rapture tape, he was nervous. He's on the platform. There's a crowd full of people in an hotel in Yuma. They're supposed to have been out there at 9 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock he was still preaching, and the management was coming to the door. And I'm sitting on the platform. I can see it. The people in the audience, they can't see what he's going through. That manager come to the door and do this. You think that don't make a speaker nervous?
Yeah.
And I can tell you how you can find out every time he does it. You read the tape yourself. You hear Brother Brown. You can hear it in his voice. He'll make a comment, they need this room, I need to hurry, we need to get out of here. And you'll hear Brother Branham talk about, now the Lord himself, he comes and he's a voice. And then there's a shout, and he gets those in the wrong order. Well, now if you want to make him infallible on everything he says, then you have to say that the Lord himself descends, and first of all he gives the voice, not the shout. And all I'm doing is asking everybody, look at the overall message.
Right, yes.
I can show you where Brother Branham, in fact, we will this morning, show you that the week before, Brother Branham talks about the Lord giving that shout and what we'll do when we hear it.
Amen.
He never mentioned the message in connection with it. I do believe that Brother Branham's message was to forerun the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
But then when you say the Lord himself descends, and if that was the shout, then Brother Branham was what? The Lord. I don't agree with that.
Right.
I think that we need to stop and get our balance.
Amen.
Keep our balance in the scriptures.
Amen.
That's the reason that in these clarification series, I've tried to come along and say, let's just look at what Brother Branham says. And when we find Brother Branham about the seventh seal, he says, he did not show it to me. He kept it a secret. Nobody knows it. But they've got a favorite quote they bring, where Brother Branham said, now the public won't know this. So here's the interpretation. If you don't know it, you're the public. Only those, the bride will know it. The public is not supposed to know it. So you're public, you're not bride. I don't hear Brother Branham talking like that.
No.
You see, if you have to change this to make it fit that so that your interpretation fits, I think somewhere you're getting it wrong.
Yes.
I think that the simplest of us can understand this message.
Yes, sir.
And overall.
Yes, sir.
Remember, if some says he's coming on a white cloud, some says he's already come, some says he's coming on a white horse, Brother Bram said, remember, he's coming.
Amen.
And if you differ somebody enough that you want to put them out and you won't let them stay in because they differ with your understanding of it, then I'm going to tell you something. You're the one that's out.
Amen.
Because you won't make it without perfect love.
Amen.
And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
And you won't get something and say, oh, well, this is mine. Now, you got to belong to my group to have this here. You can't do this. And he's wrong. You have no right to say that.
Amen.
Yeah. These brothers have come from Africa. Brother Jeremiah, them, they live in a country that's the Congo. And last count I was given over there was 480,000 believers. 9,000 ministers, 6,000 churches. And you'll find people over there worshiping the cloud. Because somebody took and put Hoffman's head of Christ and put the cloud over it and it presented to those people over there and told them that's the way it appeared in the heavens. It did not.
Amen.
That picture that they've distributed over there is man-made.
Yes.
And somebody's going to be held responsible for it.
Amen.
But you won't hear anybody from America that's of the same stature that I am as far as known all over the world, stand up and make that statement to those people. They tell me, what do you want to mention that for? We got enough problems as it is. What do you need? Because the truth is, Brother Branham was not there on February the 28th.
Right. Amen.
The truth is, Brother Branham never saw that cloud.
Yeah, right.
When they printed the seal book, and the last page of that book says, this is a picture of the cloud that Brother Branham repeatedly refers to in the seals. Brother Branham never mentioned the cloud in the seals.
Amen.
Now, folks, we don't need anything that's false.
Amen.
We've got too much that's real.
Yes, sir.
And all I did 4 or 5 years ago, I said, let's forget all this and go back and see what Brother Branham said about it. And let's say what Brother Branham said. Not what somebody else, well, it implies this, it does that. Well, you got to have a revelation, understand? No, we got to have you teach us. Why not say what Brother Branham says?
Amen.
And that's the reason that I personally refuse to print volume 6 of the Supernatural book. Because Brother Owen does not say what Brother Branham says. He says what he thinks Brother Branham meant by what he said. And as a result of that, Brother Owen and his sons have decided that they want to become the publisher of the Supernatural books, and I've told them they're welcome. So we will not be printing any more Supernatural books. We will tell people their address, and they can buy them from them. Because we're not in it for the money. I was in it because I felt like the Lord told me to print Volume 1 when he sent that, and we started. And I read, but I'll be honest with you, I can read them now, and I can see where Volume 3, he started interjecting his ideas. Volume 4, it got worse. Volume 5, it was his ideas. Volume 6 is doctrine. 1 through 5 are facts of his life that's not pertaining to salvation, but just Brother Branham's activities and lives, and he was here, he was there, he talked to this person. But volume 6 is doctrine. And I believe that you can commit spiritual adultery.
Yes, amen.
When you teach doctrine wrong.
Yes, sir.
I believe that spiritual adultery is worse than physical adultery.
Amen.
To me, physical adultery is a forgivable thing.
Sure.
Not a justifiable thing, because you'll never go back and become a virgin again. But the physical adultery is a moral sin. But spiritual adultery can be blasphemous.
Yes, sir.
It can result in the mark of the beast.
Yes.
Because you accept a doctrine. And that's the reason that you know what? I asked the Lord, why did I get involved in this to start off with? Some people said, I don't have nothing to do with it. But they bought the books. And I will say, it's a wonderful way to introduce Brother Branham.
Sure. Amen.
But that does not make the author or the compiler of these quotes the authority on this message.
Amen.
And that's what people have tried to make Brother Owen. That's not a position he wanted. But, you know, it's awful easy that now his sons feel that, hey, Dad, we can print these books and make a lot of money. Well, when that becomes the motive, it gets dangerous.
Amen.
Very dangerous.
Amen.
So I thank these brothers for the encouragement they gave me the other day. And I want you to know that I am trying to encourage Brother Owen and his sons to look what Brother Branham said.
Amen.
You can write a book about his doctrines and say, this is what Brother Branham said.
Yeah, say it.
You do that and I'll say amen 100%.
Yes.
But you know, we even had that same problem with a church age book. Whenever the church age book came out, and Brother Branham proofread it.
Yep.
But there are 16 things in that book that Brother Branham did not teach.
That's right.
And it was not discovered until it was translated by a foreigner who took every word and had to look at. We read a book, we just read, well, yeah, this, that. But you know what? Most of the things that Brother Branham didn't teach, they come along, and that's where they've established doctrines.
Yep.
And we've seen separation.
Yep.
And tangents of the message.
Amen.
Come out of that. And Brother Branham cautioned that. Now, the major one that Brother Branham talked to me about was, you don't have to be born again in order to go to heaven. Brother Branham said, he can't teach that.
Right.
No. That'd make him anti-word. Of course, Jesus said, ye must be born again.
Yes.
And anybody come along and says, you don't have to be born again. Now, let me tell you people the latest, because I don't keep anything from you. There was a convention in Europe here last month. And the major theme of that convention, attended by hundreds of people, was that you don't have to have the blood to be redeemed.
Oh my.
When the Bible says there's no redemption of sin without the shedding of blood. Or without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption sin. And they go back, the speaker did, and use the type from the Old Testament, where when the priest came in and went to the Holiest of Holies, he didn't have blood. He had fire, he had the censer. And then the blood came when Jesus was crucified. In other words, he wasn't on the mercy seat when the priest, the high priest, went in here. Now then, they believe that he's off of the mercy seat. So here we are beyond the cross, and now then we don't have to have the blood. We've got the word, and the blood saved us from back there. So we're in the Old Testament, they went forward to the blood. Now we look back to the blood, so we can be off of the mercy seat, but you can still be saved. You don't need blood now. What you need now is word. And they've indoctrinated the word to not mean Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. They don't even let the Word be the Bible. Now the Word has become the tapes. Brother Branham didn't teach that.
No.
He didn't believe that.
Not even close.
In order for you to be saved today, according to them, You have to have their understanding of what Brother Branham taught. That's the word. And, you know, when Brother Branham uses the term bleeding word, well, this word don't bleed. But they make it sound, the bleeding word, you've got the bleeding word now. But when Brother Branham uses it, he's talking about, you go back there and the word said he would die, he would be crucified. And here it is now, he was the word and that was fulfilled, and that's the bleeding word. That's the prophecy being fulfilled.
Amen.
It's the same with the rapture. It's the same with the resurrection. It's the same with the catching away. They're all in prophecy. They're all in the mind of God. They all will have, but there will come a time when the dead in Christ will rise.
Yes.
There'll come a time when we will be caught up.
Amen.
To meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
There will come a time when this mortal becomes immortal.
Amen.
When this celestial becomes terrestrial. When this corrupt becomes incorrupt.
Amen.
Potential is there now. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want to put anybody out.
Amen.
These brothers that are here this morning, they have asked if I would pray for them. Now, I remember the Sunday that Brother Branham attended the old tabernacle. And when he got through speaking about what house will you build me, I'm sitting behind him. And I asked Brother Branham if he would ordain me. And Brother Brown, of course, he couldn't hardly refuse the way it was there in front of the congregation. And so I knelt down and he put his hands on me and he prayed like this. He said, Lord, my unworthy hands. But bless this young man and bless his family and bless what he does. And I appreciate that. But you know what? That doesn't make me right. If anything, it causes a lot of envy with some people. So much so that when they printed the book, they left that out. They didn't include my ordination in the book originally. I think it was Brother Floyd Patterson who was on the board of trustees then of spoken word. That he come back and said, that's not right. Just because he's Perry Green, you don't leave him out.
Right. Amen.
But you see, this didn't just start. This has been there from the beginning. And why? I guess that's what I got to thinking this past week. If I'm such a controversy, maybe if I just got out of the picture,
yes,
all the controversy go away.
No.
Because the facts are right now that most people believe that I am against the copyright, I'm against the franchise, I'm against Voice of God. I'm not against any of them.
Amen. Amen.
With all my heart, I think that Brother Joseph Branham should print the message.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
I think he should distribute the message.
Yes.
But I think he should do it so well and so inexpensive that nobody else would want to.
Yeah.
The kind of volume and quality and presses he got, it would be so easy. That it would be foolish for anybody else to do it. If you can obtain it from them, so much less expensive.
Yeah.
But it's not that, it's the control. And when they write you a letter and say that you cannot use my father's name. I'm sorry, that letter just was filed away. It wasn't thrown away, but it was filed away. But I can't obey that. If I'm a rebel by disobeying that, I'm a rebel.
Praise God.
And I don't sell the tapes. I don't sell the books. I don't sell, but many of these things God gave us. And the only thing we're guilty of is letting everybody have them. That makes a difference.
Amen.
I think that there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. Because a good thing, the Lord's going to ask them, why? Why'd you have this attitude? And you know what? They may be absolutely right, and I pray God have mercy on me. But I don't deliberately do anything to be wrong. And there's brothers that they're on the internet, and I think they call themselves Free the Word. And I've been told that I'm in charge of those brothers.
Wow.
And before the Lord, I don't even know who they are. They say, if I would line up, then all the others would line up. I didn't know I was that important. I didn't know I had that influence. All I know, folks, is when I came here, I asked everybody to let me serve God, raise my family, and try to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And that's still my desire.
Amen.
Now, these brothers come all the way from the Congo, and they encouraged me, but they turned around and wanted me to pray for them. And tonight, the Lord willing, I'm gonna ask them if they'd minister to us again. Especially, I want them to give you testimonies of the supernatural things that they've seen happen as a result of the prayer clause. I was brought a testimony this morning of Brother Branham on a tape. And let me just read you some words there, because Brother Branham refers to it on some other tapes, if I brought them up here. I didn't. But Brother Branham was in Tacoma, Washington. Yes, I did. And it was in 1957. This was, well, it must have been in July, because this is dated August, and he said he was in Tacoma 3 or 4 days before. This is in the Sirs, We Would See Jesus, while he was in Edmonton. The tape number is 57, August the 4th in the evening, is paragraph E73. And Brother Branham said, I pray thee in Jesus' name, look down upon this penitent group of people as thy servant is tired. And I look over this audience and see the faith among the people. You reveal the secrets of the heart. You make the blind to see, like that little Indian boy the other night. And then two nights later, Brother Branham refers back to the same thing. I seen a few nights ago in the audience at Tacoma, Washington, an arena about like this one, and thousands of people packed in there. And I seen a little blind Indian boy that the Holy Spirit went out into the audience and took these people, told these people their names and where they'd come from and who they were, and challenged them. And I want to play you that 10-minute excerpt from that tape in Tacoma, because the quotes that I have to give you this morning, the end of this, is that Brother Branham said, the Son of Man is revealing himself now.
Yes.
And this is what I feel like we need to be able to separate, is that it was God in Brother Branham, a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man.
Amen.
And doing and demonstrating the same miracles that God, Jesus did when he was here in flesh.
Amen.
Only it is now was in Brother Branham's flesh as a Son of Man, as a prophet of God. But Brother Branham continues and said, that's the thing that'll happen in us.
Yes. Amen.
God is to reveal himself as the Son of Man in our flesh now.
Right.
So, Chris, can you play that excerpt from Tacoma, Washington?
What do you think, lady, sitting there on the end looking so earnestly? Saying, oh God, if it could be me. Yes. Got female trouble. Your name is Mrs. John Lamington. That's right. That's right. Raise up your hand. All right. He knows you. Got an abscess on the ovary. If you believe with all your heart, you can go home and be well. Do you believe it? Accept it? Then go home and be well. Amen. I challenge your faith. What about in this section in here? Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. You're sitting there trying to get somebody else to encourage them, aren't you? You believe God healed the diabetes to make you well? You believe it? It's just so nice to try to encourage that lady. God's healed you of the diabetes now. Amen. And go home and be well. Oh, how wonderful it is. What do you think back there, lady? You got trouble in your chest, haven't you? Sitting right back here on the end of the row back here. Got head trouble. Heart trouble. Little dark-complected woman. That is right. You're sitting there praying. That's right, isn't it? If it is, raise up your hand. You're healed now. And go home and be well. Oh, the wonderful Lord Jesus. Believe. Here's a lady sitting here, very sick. She's praying. She's got TB. Her name's Della Lowe. Della, you believe that God will heal you? All right, accept your healing. Have faith in God. That lady sitting next to you. She's suffering with eye trouble and getting weak spells. That's right. That's right. The lady sitting next to you. She's weeping. She's praying. She's an Indian. That's right. She's suffering with severe headaches. She's not only that, but she's praying for her boy sitting next to her that's blind. That's true. And the boy's praying for his daddy sitting next to him with back trouble. You're Indians. That's right. You're from a city called Shelton. That's right. Your name is James. That's right. The one that raised his hand? All right, Ray, do you believe? Your little boy's name's Tony, isn't it? Your wife's name's Sally. That's her mother sitting next to her. Hallelujah! Jesus Christ, God's Son, is here! But thou canst believe. Have faith in God. Sally, bring little blind Tony to me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, to the praise of the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the almighty, the all-sufficient God who raised Lazarus from the dead. He's able to heal the blind. He can restore sight. His Spirit is here now. Will you believe? Little Tony, will you give glory to God? Will you bow your heads and don't raise your head till I call for your heads to be raised? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Little boy, come here to me. You present him to me, lady. Close your eyelids. Don't raise your eyelids till I call. Almighty God, Creator of heavens and earth, these poor Indians, the land's taken from them, they shoved back in a corner. They did get a raw deal from the country, but God, you'll never pass them by. Oh, omnipotent Creator of heavens and earth, this little blind Indian boy is standing here with his head on my bosom. I pray thee, Father, to give grace tonight. We do not seek for miracles, for we know a weak and adulterous generation seeketh after miracles and signs. We have the sign already tonight that Jesus is raised from the dead and standing in our midst. But my heart went out for this little blind boy. Oh, God of heaven, hear the fervent prayer of your servant and open the eyes of this blind boy. Thou demon of blindness, whose closed this little boy's eyes into darkness, I adjure thee by the living God that you come out of him and give sight back to his eyes again that God intended him to have. I judge thee by the death of Christ at Calvary to be uncredited. You are defeated. Christ stripped you at Calvary. You have no legal rights. And we come to call your blood in Christ's name. Open the eyes of the child for the glory of God. Now let every head be bowed, every eye closed. While if this blind spirit should leave the child, it might go to one of you, and you'd find your own self with Ophthalim in a few days. Now keep your heads bowed. I do not know what's happened, but there's something that's taken place. Now you wait till you hear me say it. Every mother, keep your child near you for its spirit. Now, Tony, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, the lid, won't you raise your head, position it to me. Now look and open your eyes and look at me. I want you to look at me here. Can you see me? You can see me. Put your hand on my nose, Tony. The audience may raise your head. Look here. Tony, look at me. Put your hand on my nose, Tony. Follow me, Tony. Come with me. Praise the Lord. Let's give God praise, everybody. Let's just raise our hands and give praise to the Lord. Omnipotent God who can open the eyes of a blind Indian boy can surely with thy grace divine be all sufficient to heal the needy here tonight. Grant it, Lord. I pray that in Christ's name that you'll do this for your own glory.
Amen.
I wonder in the face of this person.
Next week after that, Brother Branham said, I seen a few nights ago in the audience of Tacoma, Washington, an arena like this here, and thousands of people packed in there. And I seen a little blind Indian boy that the Holy Spirit went out into the audience and told those people their names, where they'd come from, who they were, and challenged that mother to bring that little blind Indian who fell out of his little crib when he was about 3 months old and put both eyes completely out, been totally blind. He was about 12, 14 years old. Brought this little man to the platform. And there Almighty God gave him perfectly his sight. He walked off of the platform, sat down, walked and got his drink, and everything around the place just glorifying God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to, let's go to the quote number one, Chris. The True Easter Seal, which is 1961, it's April the 2nd, paragraph 143. The same thing he's going to do next after that. And remember, after that sign was manifested full at Abraham and his group, then the next thing came was that change. Now, I've gone from the resurrection now into the translation of the bride, caught up. This change. Now, if we don't believe in divine healing, we won't be able to believe in this.
Amen. True.
But this is the next thing to happen to you physically. You're going to see the dead in Christ, but there's going to be a change in those of us which are alive and remain.
Amen.
Brother Branham goes through this in detail about Abraham and Sarah being changed, but that was just their bodies. He's talking about something greater than just a physical change of youth,
right,
to come back in us. I got 6 or 7 quotes on this. What's the change? See, now we done seen everything through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, placing of the Son, the signs and the wonders, being in his presence to discern the thoughts of the heart and so forth. He said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We see that taking place right now. Now, that's what you just heard.
Amen.
There was a manifestation of the Son of Man.
Yes.
The change of the body. Now, show that we're looking for an experienced son. Is that right? We cannot meet him in these bodies. If we are changed back to young men and women, still we can't meet him because we have to meet him in the air. There has to be something done besides change us back to young men and women. we've got to be changed and caught up in the air to meet him.
Yes, amen.
Caught up in the air.
Right.
Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, but those which are asleep in Christ shall rise first. And in verse 15, can you put that up there now, Chris? Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now, where did Paul get this word of the Lord? You don't find scripture saying this. Where did Paul get this? We can go back and look in the Bible. There was Enoch and Moses and Elijah and Elisha and all the translations and the supernatural things that they did and everything else. But Paul comes along and says, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Amen.
And what does he say will happen to us? Can we read the next two or three verses? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now this is the first time you talked about all of us that are alive being translated, caught up. But now where did this come from? Paul said it come by the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Now how did Paul get a word from the Lord? There was a time on board a ship, he told the man, don't leave the ship because an angel stood by me tonight. He was told on the road to Damascus by the Lord himself, go into Damascus and there'll be a man come do this for you. How did Paul get these things, the word of the Lord? Now, this is something that we, as people who follow Brother Branham's ministry, I think we need to understand it so that our faith will be in the right place.
Amen.
How does Brother Branham, when he comes along and says, now, this is not me saying it, this is the word of the Lord. There was times when Brother Branham had it by vision. There was times when he got it from the scriptures. There was times when Brother Branham said he got it from the angel of the Lord. He was asked by Brother Matson Bose one time, Brother Branham, did that angel of the Lord tell you that the Trinity doctrine was wrong and that we should all be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother Branham said, if he told me anything else, I wouldn't have believed him.
Right.
Why? Because the scripture says that.
Amen.
Jesus said that. The angel of the Lord, if he tell him anything else, that then the scripture says, there would be an angel from heaven, let him be a liar.
Amen.
And if you go to 1 Kings, I think it's 17 and 20, you'll find where there is one prophet, he comes in the name of the Lord, and he's told to do something, and he does that. And then another one comes along and says, well, the Lord told me this. And he said, well, that's not what the Lord told me. The first one did, and the second one said, yeah, but an angel told me. But the scripture says he lied. So not everybody that says, thus saith the Lord, that they've got, oh, they felt led to do that, but that was not what God told the first prophet. And that's a whole sermon within itself. But with Brother Branham got some of his by personal experience.
Yes.
Have you ever read where Brother Branham said, by the grace of God, I handle these people?
Yeah.
When you hear him preach on the fifth seal, and he's talking about the souls under the altar. How did Brother Branham know that wasn't the bride?
Right.
Because he'd been there. Amen. He'd seen the bride. They had on white robes.
Amen. Amen.
So this had to be the Jews.
Yeah.
And when Brother Branham says, by God's grace, he let me handle these people with my own hands.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have enough confidence that if Brother Branham told us something like that, we believe it. We'd say that was by the word of the Lord.
Yes.
You won't find scripture that'll say that. You won't find where Jesus taught that. But you have enough confidence to believe that the word and the Lord said that there'd be a prophet that would do this. And because he said it and he had that experience, I believe he went beyond the curtain of time.
Yes, amen.
I believe he saw those people changed.
Yes.
And when he says that in our bodies, we cannot go there, just like he tells us that sitting in heavenly places here, we think we'd like to stay like that. But he said, you can't take it in these bodies.
Amen.
These bodies have to be changed.
Yes.
He said, now this body's been redeemed. It was sinful. It was redeemed. But there's another body that's being formed. He called it a theophany.
Yes.
And he said, those that have died, they have met their theophany, but their theophany will come back and pick up their redeemed body, and they will be translated, caught up, and when we see them, this body will get the same theophany that's been growing in us, and those will be translated.
Amen.
That'll be the change. Not this sinful body. I don't care how young it gets. If it's a baby, it'll grow up to age. If it's an old person, it'll go back to a mature age in health. But it's that theophany, that
yes.
celestial body, that translation. And if you don't believe in divine healing, how are you going to believe in a resurrection, much less a translation?
Amen.
We say there's been a change in us,
yes.
but there's going to be a wonderful change.
Yes.
And what we saw in Brother Branham was not a change to a glorified body.
Right.
Like Mary saw Jesus in the garden, but she couldn't touch him. I've not yet been to the Father. But then when he appeared to the ten in the room without Thomas, he came through a wall.
Yep.
And when they told Thomas, he said, except I feel his hands and see his scars. And then when Jesus appeared to the 11 with Thomas, Jesus said, touch me here.
Yep. Right.
There had been a change.
Yes.
And he said, I'm hungry.
Yep. Hmm.
And he walked on the water.
Yep.
There was a change took place in physics.
Yeah.
It's not just you come from an old sinner and a person that thought carnal to a person that thinks holy and righteous. There is a change in this old body.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So much so that if you are dead, that theophany comes back and picks up this sinful body.
Yes.
And if you are here, then when you see the dead in Christ in their new bodies, then you're changed. And while they're marching up, you follow them too. And this congregation, this church, Tucson Tabernacle, played a part in that when Brother Bram stood down here on November the 11th, 1965, and saw the Armistice Day parade go by there, and he saw the old veterans, and he said, someday there'll come one when we'll see the veterans come, and then we'll follow them up there.
Amen.
And from there, you begin to see Brother Branham when he went to Shreveport. He talks about that change that takes place. When he goes to the Yuma, he continues on the rapture and he puts it all together. But in Yuma, he gets the things reversed and people make a doctrine out of it and says it's already happened. When I've got quotes here that Brother Bram said, we're looking forward to that.
Amen.
It will happen someday.
Yes.
Right now we hear about it, but there's going to come a time when we see it with our own eyes. I'm willing to let God bring it to pass instead of letting somebody interpret it for me and tell me, well, it's already happened. And I tell you what, folks, if we're in the millennium, I'm disappointed.
Amen.
If the devil's bound now, I don't want to be here when he's turned loose.
Amen.
There's something greater than what they're saying. But yet people feel like they're so spiritual because they've got it now. They were part of it now. When the truth is that I think they got it out of place.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, the Son of Man has been revealed by a Son of Man. But when did it happen? I can show you quotes from back in 1957. Brother Branham said, the Son of Man has come now. He's here now.
Sure.
Revealing himself
yes.
in our flesh. Brother Branham, one place apologized. He said, I hope I don't have to get plain enough to tell you, but the Son of Man's revealing himself now. What is he saying? To me, he's saying, if you folks could see, this is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I am not your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
But there's a change been taking place. There's an adoption took place.
Amen.
And why did God do that? Because he knew that we and our carnal flesh would never comprehend this unless we saw a demonstration. And folks, I want to say, and I don't know if it's possible for me to say humility or not. People won't let me be humble. But I know that I was privileged.
Amen.
To see and witness and hear.
Yes.
And all I want to do is be a faithful witness.
Amen.
To tell you that God's word is true.
Yes.
And it's a matter of, what did Brother Ram say to that little Indian boy? Only believe. It's not whether you believe somebody's doctrine or whether you understand it all or not, but do you believe that you, well, last Sunday, we demonstrated to you, you don't have to worry about the tribulation. You're not going to be here.
Amen.
The bride's done been gone.
Yes. Amen.
She'll be taken away before that.
Amen.
And all of those vials and trumpets and things happen underneath the sixth seal.
Yeah.
You won't be here during that time. When all these things begin to come to pass, we can count on being changed.
Amen.
The next thing would be, we begin to see the resurrection.
Yes.
And those that are asleep in Christ will take on a new body. And when we see that, I think that's going to change us.
Amen.
It's going to change our attitude with
amen.
It. You say amen to it?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all in the message.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Read it.
Yeah.
I in particular would suggest that you hear the tapes from Shreveport, Louisiana, which was preached Thanksgiving weekend before Brother Branham preached to Yuma. This is what was on Brother Branham's heart and mind the last week that he ministered. And then by God's grace, he came and served communion for us at the tabernacle. And when I handed him the tray or passed the tray in front of him, and he reached over and took the cup and the bread, he turned to the audience and said, "I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine until I enter my Father's kingdom."
Amen.
I believe he was quoting just like Jesus did. He knew that that was the end for his ministry. Why would one want to stay here if God was finished with you?
Amen.
People will know, well, why did Brother Branham have to die? Why did he have to leave? Well, I've told people all over the world, I'll take the blame for that. I know what part I contributed to it. If Brother Branham was alive and with us today, I don't know that I would have gone back and studied the message. I wasn't following the message when the seals came. We'd have been waiting for the fishes and the loaves, the next meeting, who he was going to straighten out next.
Right.
You say, well, what a horrible thing to say. What about John the Baptist?
Yes.
What a shameful thing. They took that man of God's head and put it on a platter and displayed it for everybody to laugh at. But none born of woman was any greater.
Amen.
Nobody can truthfully, honestly say that I don't love Brother Branham.
That's right.
I've given my life to telling people who I think he was. But I feel like that now there's people that's doing a great disservice by doing something he asked them not to do.
Yeah.
There was times when he wanted to quit the ministry also.
Sure.
It wasn't because he didn't feel like he wasn't accomplishing, but it was because what he saw happening, he saw people giving a carnal interpretation to a spiritual revelation. And when they worshiped him, he'd rather have not been here than had somebody blaspheme and worship him instead of his Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That he loved, that he knew had redeemed him from his sins. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the revelation of yourself, Lord. That when you told your disciples that if you went away, you'd ask the Father to send a comforter. And that's what you did. You went away. You paid the price for my sins. You ascended on high and you sat down at the right hand of the Father with all power and authority. But that spirit that was in you was sent back to this earth on the day of Pentecost. And a man named Peter was given the revelation that if they or anybody the Lord our God would call would repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that Spirit would come and abide in us and would teach us things that were, things which are, and things which will be. And if we would listen and follow that Spirit, that leadership, we would become sons and daughters of Almighty God. What a privilege.
Amen.
We've been set free from our sins. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. We can be adopted. If we die, we can be raised from the dead. If we live in this world, we can be raptured. We have an invitation to be joined to you in holy spiritual wedlock and become one in Christ Jesus. This old world will not hold us. In a moment, we'll be gone. This vile body can become incorrupt. It's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's been made whole, free from death, but a new creature in Christ Jesus. But there's another one that's being formed inside. That's a theophany that's never known sin, that cannot sin. But someday this soul will be joined to that, and our body will be like your body. And we'll spend eternity with the presence from which it came, that of Almighty God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fill us, Lord, as Brother John prayed the first prayer this morning. Fill us with yourself. Let the Son of Man be revealed in my flesh. May people not see Perry Green. Some see a fat Texas preacher. But may they see you in the spirit and the atmosphere. A cheerful giver. One filled with charity. One that loves you and wants to please you above all else. In Jesus' name. You say amen?
Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have I to you. I don't know why, but I had almost everything I said today in quotes of Brother Branham, but I never got them in the right order to bring them to you. But I don't think I said anything today that I can't prove to you that Brother Branham didn't say.
Amen.
If you'd like to have the quotes, I'll be happy to publish them for you. But I believe that we're close to being translated.
Amen.
There's a change taking place in us.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And whether we die or whether we live, same thing will happen to all of us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for those that are asleep in Christ.
Amen.
But I believe the price has already been paid for all of us that can believe it.
Amen.
God bless you. You say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. I want to sing, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I